Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Patty. On yesterday's call, we began discussing a proper biblical understanding of prosperity and what it takes to be a money magnet. I still recall an email I received a little over a dozen years ago. I looked it up and found it was dated December 10th, 2005. The email said in part, "You have nothing to lose. Your life and prosperity can only improve if you follow my simple 30-day money magnet program." The email offered four DVDs from extremely wealthy people on how to be money magnets. Talking about the wealthy individuals, email also said, they followed a set of simple instructions, which made money automatically come their way. Money was attracted to them, like metal to a magnet, long before they become wealthy. As I reread that statement, well, that's exactly what we're asking you to do. Follow a simple set of instructions, not from them, but Him. God's money magnet secrets are available for free to all seeking. And your email inbox will not be filled with Him, God, trying to upgrade your sale with incredible limited time offer, money savings deals for this or that. In fact, the only time you'll hear from God is when you call on Him, in which case He's always there, ready to talk. With that being said, let's do a quick review of yesterday's call. I pointed out that if I would ask 100 Christians to give me a biblical definition of prosperity, I'd get 100 different answers. Some would no doubt say money. Others would say cars and land. And there would be those who would say spiritual blessings. However strange as it may seem, none of these match the biblical definition of prosperity. The Bible defines prosperity differently than anything that I've ever found in the realm of man's knowledge.
Genesis 39, verse 2 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man."
The only thing standing on the auction block is a slave named Joseph. He was a naked, penniless man, not having a single possession. But yet God says he's a prosperous man. Not the rich man that bought him, but the slave is said to be prosperous. With this definition of prosperity, it becomes obvious that biblical prosperity is opposite of the world's prosperity. The prosperity of this world system is always directly related to possessions, while biblical prosperity is always directed and related to man's personal relationship with God.
This becomes clear in Genesis 39, verse 3, in the Classic Amplified Bible. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he had, Joseph, all that he did to prosper in his hand. In accordance with this promise to mankind, Deuteronomy 8:18 declares that each of us have the power to manifest biblical prosperity. Because in Deuteronomy 8:18 it says, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." As we know in the story, due to the lying and sinful heart of Potiphar's wife, Joseph appeared to lose everything. Notice I said appeared to lose everything. Genesis 39, verse 20 says, "And Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him into the prison."
According to the world's way of measuring prosperity, Joseph would be removed from the list of the prosperous ones. For the world measures prosperity well, the way it measured it, prosperity was over for Joseph and poverty was beginning. However, it's not that way with God's prosperity. For it does not come from without by the accumulation of material wealth. It comes from within, turning the one who has it into a magnet that draws material wealth, power, and influence. With Joseph's arrival at the jailhouse, the world system says, well, it says that poverty is inevitable. However, the inward biblical prosperity of Joseph quickly restored his position, possessions, and privileges. For no sooner is Joseph thrown in the jail than good things start to happen for him.
Genesis 39, verses 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that which he did, and the Lord made it prosper.
Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. In the world system, the out-of-prison experience usually is as devastating as the in-prison experience. Most people coming out of prison have a very difficult time prospering. They're marked, not trusted. And more often than not, they go directly to the bottom of the social and economic ladder. However, that's not true with God's prosperity. Notice that when Joseph comes out of the jail, he skips the parole officer and reports directly to the king. Genesis 41:14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came into Pharaoh. New clothes, a good shave, and he's off to meet the king.
Genesis 41, verse 38 says, And Pharaoh said unto his seven servants, Can we find such as one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?
Notice that Pharaoh is not impressed with Joseph because of any outward prosperity for Joseph. For Joseph has absolutely nothing when he comes out of prison. However, the king, Pharaoh, immediately sees the same thing that Potiphar saw. He sees the forces of biblical prosperity operating in Joseph. Well, spiritual power immediately began producing the things the world calls prosperity.
Genesis 41, verses 39 and 40. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. The magnetic power to prosper that was in Joseph immediately draws him to the finest house in town. It was the king's house. In Genesis 41:40, it says, According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. The God kind of prosperity quickly brings Joseph a position of authority. And in Genesis 41, verse 42, it says, And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck.
Excellent jewelry, fine clothing, also comes to Joseph. Now, we need to keep in mind the things, the jewelry, the clothing, were not what made Joseph prosperous. They came to him because the God kind of prosperity was in him. Genesis 41:43.
Pharaoh made him to ride in the second chariot. A good and dependable automobile, his chariot, came to him. Now hold on to your hat, because Joseph also became a money magnet. Genesis 47, verse 14 says, "And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan."
I want you to write down the following statement. Five words. I am a money magnet. I am a money magnet. Personalize it. Paul is a money magnet. Tanisha is a money magnet. Maya is a money magnet. Yvette's a money magnet. Samuel is a money magnet. Ray's a money magnet. Personalize it. I wish I had time to call the hundreds of names that are on these screens out. But I want to assure you that having you write that statement is not just some exercise in wishful thinking. It is, in fact, a scriptural reality that God wants for your life. The story of Joseph is the same story God wants to tell about you. God sees the power to get wealth that he placed in you, drawing a good-paying position to you. A comfortable home awaits. A comfortable, dependable automobile or van. Or maybe why not have both? Yes, and even some quality clothing and tasteful jewelry. Not to mention enough money to bless you and your loved ones, as well as enabling you to bless others that God directs you to. Biblical prosperity is in the children of God. If you have it, it's more than passions. It's a relationship with God that can draw everything you need or want to you. Two other things to consider.
First, Proverbs 19, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Many will seek the favor of a generous and noble man, and everyone is a friend to him who gives gifts."
This verse does not advocate buying friends with your money. It simply means your giving sets up a magnetism that draws others to you. Your generosity will be noted and draw other generous people to you. It'll be magnetic. Second, here's a small step to becoming a money magnet. Get a jar, mason or otherwise. Make it your financial freedom jar and deposit money into it every day. The amount can vary. It can be the change in your pocket or your wallet or purse. It could be $1, $5, $10, or even a single penny. The amount of money is not as important as the consistency of doing it every day. This process will begin to slowly change your financial reality. You'll begin to build a money momentum because it attracts like. Money attracts more money. The financial freedom jar could be your first step to being a money magnet. One last thing. Recognize yourself as a money magnet God desires you to be. Dave is a money magnet. Diane's a money magnet. Get this down inside of you. Brenda's a money magnet. Begin to see yourself this way because God has made you a money magnet. Remember that. It's not the world. God has made you a money magnet, and it doesn't matter what your current circumstances look like. Begin to see yourself the way God sees you. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHerring.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. It's all we'll ever ask. Check out this week's 2-minute video and plan now to join us tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for Sunday Night Live. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.